Hi, I'm Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Boundless Podcast. Your financial gifts make this download possible, so I hope you'll go to focusonthefamily.com/donate. And again, thanks for helping families thrive.
Well, folks, we are here for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Very pleased to be with you again. And we are officially in fall, which I love. Not as much as summer, but maybe it's my second. No, it's my third favorite season. Okay, anyway, that no one needed to know that. But let me tell you about this week's show, which you do want to know about. You want to hear our inbox question later, which one of our counselors, Christina, is here for. She's going to talk about getting to know people within a group context without either becoming the friend girl that the guy you're interested in doesn't care about, or getting too like way into his business and just using the rest of the group to become his friend. That's a lot there, folks, but she's going to do it in 5 minutes. Okay, then our culture segment, we have got Ruthie and Michael Dean. They are the authors of Real Men Don't Text. Okay, so not that you don't text at all, but this whole like, hey, text, maybe you want to do something sometime and maybe just, I don't know, hang out. We don't like that. So apparently they don't either. So they're going to talk to us about that. And we are here for our round table. Before we get into our round table, I want to tell you a couple other things, though. First thing is, and do y'all remember that we're actually on Stitcher Smart Radio? Do remember that, because that is a great way to access our show each week. I have it just on my phone and I can bring it up and you can pick up and leave off on a show at any time, and it's great. So you can just stop and start. Also, another thing, do you know that we are coming up on our 300th episode? No, you probably don't, because you don't count them like we do. Well, we are, our 300th episode, and we want to know if you are a longtime listener. If you are, email us at editor@boundless.org, because we would love to hear from you just about your experiences listening to the show. You know, we're over 5 years now. So anything that's impacted you specifically, or who you've told the show about, you know, whatever, just let us know. All right, so now we're getting back to our roundtable, and now that I just put all that in your ear, we're going to talk about vulnerability. And so I have a great panel assembled with me here. I have Yvette, Brandon, and Danny. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Very good to have you here. All right, this roundtable is birthed out of a listener question. Sometimes we like to do that. And so we had a listener write into us with really a long, I mean, it was kind of like a letter, really, talking about how in growing up, she kind of felt like it really, there were only certain kind of emotions that could be expressed or talked about. You know, if you were happy, that was great. Supportive of someone, that's awesome. But if you were angry or fearful or whatever, let's not get into that. Kind of the whole, if you don't have anything good to say, just don't say it at all. And so as a result, she's kind of struggling with, okay, what does that mean now that I know that that's probably not healthy? How do I do this in a healthy context? Because she's actually just realizing now that, oh my goodness, maybe there are some things that I get upset about. Maybe, I mean, it's kind of a self-realization. And so, you know, she wants to know, like, what is the difference between complaining and sharing how she feels? You know, and what's the difference between being way TMI and being truly honest and open about who you are in a good context? So the first thing I want to ask you guys, just in light of this, is do you all think this is true? I mean, this whole, do you see a lot of young adults kind of wrestling with this? And like, how have you seen it play out? And what are some of the unique struggles that you think we're seeing, whether because of our culture or because of just the way we do relationships? How has it looked for you?
I would just chime in on that. First of all, the table isn't very round. No. At least that's, you might want to work on that.
But, sorry about that.
I was looking up the term vulnerability, where it came from, and it's wound, to wound or wounded or wounding. And you to take a risk to be wounded, I think we avoid pain a lot in our culture. And so we want to find just the right person, or sometimes we just throw it out there and we get wounded and we just get used to it. You know, just a TMI type of person. To be in the middle is just right. And I think to find, you know, if you're wounded physically, you're going to go to someone you trust to bandage you up. If you're going to be exposed, you go to a doctor and you get checked up, or it's with somebody very intimate, right? And so you want to find people that you're going to trust and not just trust anyone, but that takes effort on your part to develop a trusting support system that you can have.
Yeah, I think that Danny's right as far as that extreme. Like, there's just these two extremes that you can kind of fall on. And I think in our desire, especially as Christians, to be in real community with one another, sometimes it is a little bit awkward to navigate that well. How do you do authentic right? Because there is, you know, there are some aspects of like codependency where sometimes you're just too vulnerable and you have this unreal expectation that you put on people. And once you finally do put yourself out there, if that isn't met, it can be really hard. So I think that concept of risk is very important. To know that it's going to be a risk to open up to somebody, but there's a lot that God wants to do in the world through our relationships. And so I think it is really important. I commend her for struggling with that once she's realizing that, you know, mm-hmm. to figure out how do I do this well? Cause it's a kingdom issue mm-hmm. and it's really important. I think that one of the things, I know I have some friends who kind of had that same upbringing, and being a Latina, I think I'm just kind of used to, we're passionate and it's all out there. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I have learned to tell my friends is, especially the close friends, is it's not about your emotion being right or wrong. I, as a friend who wants to do life closely with you, like, I just need to know what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And we can get to whether the Lord needs to work on your heart to fix what you're feeling. But if we're going to walk life together, like, you just need to share with me. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're feeling? Because most of the time, people can tell that mm-hmm. you're upset, that you're uncomfortable. We're not as good at masking our feelings as we think. So mm-hmm. you might as well start getting comfortable with being real with those that you are trying to do life with intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think within that too, there's a dichotomy between those two extremes of not sharing anything and sharing everything. And especially within culture, we see in the secular side that there's just that mindset of you do it by yourself, you just power through, you're not really supposed to be vulnerable to anyone. But then in the Christian side of it, especially lately, I've noticed in small groups that there's just this really kind of lasered focus in on that you should just be super vulnerable, and that I find that Christians sometimes can become too focused on that extreme of being too vulnerable and too open, and then you get so focused on the things that you're struggling with or that you're dealing with that you almost completely leave out the opportunity that God has put there to either find healing or to kind of go through the steps to kind of figure out what you need to do to correct the issues that you're struggling with. So it's really that balance of finding someone close that you can trust, that you can share with, but not getting so focused on just kind of that victim mentality all the time, being able to identify it, but then being able to kind of put an action plan in place and be able to work towards becoming whole again.
So, yeah. Now, would you guys say, I mean, because this is the roundtable and we make people talk about themselves, where are you guys on this continuum? I mean, are you the person that's just going to like share with everyone? I mean, have you grown in this area? Are you the one who's naturally reserved and people have to pull stuff out of you? I mean, have you been burned in this before? I mean, Danny's a counselor, so he has to just put it all out there. But, you know, but where would you guys say personally are your struggles in this?
Well, as a counselor, I have mentors in my life that I've chosen to be a part of my life, for us to be open with each other. Mm-hmm. And that took some intentional creating, intentional approach on my part mm-hmm. To do that. And now we, whenever we can, and usually we try to make a point maybe once a month, once every couple months, to just get together for an hour or two and just bring it all out. Enjoy our time together, have a meal, but just be exposed, be open with mm-hmm. each other. And I think that's important for anybody. Pastors have a hard time with that because mm-hmm. if they're exposed to a congregant, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So certain people in certain professions, it makes it even harder for them to be vulnerable and open. And now with media, you know, you have a false sense of vulnerability with that. Mm-hmm. That makes people think, oh, I'm being vulnerable, when they're not. It's just mm-hmm. we need that face-to-face contact and the closeness with another person.
You mean like when someone puts on Facebook, devastated, and then they give no explanation, and you're just supposed to like ask them what that's about? Yeah. That is so annoying. Okay, but continue.
I definitely fall more on the vulnerable side as far as just being a lot more open with how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking. So the Lord has had to, you know, as I grow and mature, to show me more like I have such a high value on authenticity, but I can be authentic. Doesn't mean I have to be 100% authentic or 100% vulnerable all the time. You mm-hmm. know, you can, there are degrees of honesty that you can share. So timing is important. When someone asks you and they're passing you in the hall, how are you doing? That's not the time to like, mm-hmm. it's not always the time to be like, oh, well, you know, this, I got in a fight with my mom. Mm-hmm. Like,
I just think people need to stop asking that. Like, that just, I mean, the whole, we've already talked about how, like, when people say, how are you, they don't really care. Why it's do people ask that?
Well, I guess I just chalk it up to it's a pleasantry, you know, yeah. like, and you can be somewhat honest with that. Like, you can say, fine, great, you know, I'm all right. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to divulge everything in that moment. I think you can respond honestly without, but in a way that's relationally savvy, contextually savvy. Mm-hmm. But if that's a person you trust, you know, maybe coffee then later. You know what? I'm not doing so great. Can we grab coffee later today? Mm. That's just a more appropriate way to do that. So, I think I've had to learn I've had to learn to grow in not feeling disingenuous if I'm not letting everybody in. Mm-hmm. Really searching the Lord to expose my heart and say, Lord, do I have an expectation here that I'm going in with? Or am I letting past hurts keep me from entering in relationship? Because I have gotten burned, and mm-hmm. I want to steward that well. And I love the C.S. Lewis quote that is about, you know, to love is to be vulnerable, and mm-hmm. to really embrace that and say, it's going to be a risk, but it's okay to risk mm-hmm. rightly and to risk with discernment. But I'm on that side of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've actually been really blessed in relationships that I've been able to develop two really close friends that had gone through the same struggles that I had gone through, that we really just connected and found that common ground where we could be just completely open and vulnerable to each other. And it was really refreshing, because a lot of the time you talk to people and you know they don't completely understand what you'd been dealing with, so they kind of just, they smile and they nod and they say, oh, it'll be okay, and they can't really offer any advice. But to really find that person that truly can hurt for you and can be that shoulder that you need just to kind of lean against is really good. And it's also what we found too, is to not, again, get stuck on the things that were going wrong. So I would meet with friends, you know, once a week, and we'd have that time where we could talk about what we were struggling with, what didn't go right, but then also to talk about what was going right and the good things in our life and how we could use those good things to help us with the stuff we were struggling with. So it was really, wasn't just a session where we would just complain and just kind of dump on each other, but one where we could, within that, encourage and pray and find. So I tend to be more on that vulnerable side. So it was really, for me, important to find those people that I could trust.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you guys say? Because I definitely know people too that, and I totally agree with you that, like, finding those few core people is great. And you don't want to, you can't go deep with every person in your acquaintance, at least to the same level. You got to pick those hello people Jesus said to just a few people. Can we follow his example? Okay, but you know, so that's totally true. But then I see people go to the extreme of they have their little core group, and so they go way deep with those people and are vulnerable, and then everyone else is just like the veneer. So how can you so have like sad. A normal, like, I mean, because then they're like, you know, okay, everyone else, I have to put on the happy face and whatever, and then I'll just be real with these people. Mm-hmm. But that's not really being honorable to the rest of people, you know, because then people just think you're fake or whatever.
You know, I spoke at a church just recently on this, where people are complaining that the church isn't accepting and there isn't openness in the church, but the Sunday service isn't set up for that. We're there to worship God, and we can be friendly with each other, and it's the lunches after and those times mm-hmm. where you do get together.
It's not
with
to stand up and shake the hand of the person next to you.
That's right.
You're not going to be like,
I bet that's your favorite, Lisa. Yeah. How are you doing? Uh-huh. Yeah, you love that.
No.
You just let us know that, so
yeah,
that's
exactly.
good.
Okay.
But yeah, the within the church, if you, or anywhere else, if you're in the hallway, still being friendly and talking about things you like, passions, dreams, those are great things. But when you're wounded, sometimes we depend on people to heal our wounds, and they're not ready for that. And so that's where I think vulnerability is just not appropriate. When you're looking for, you're depending on people for your healing, and that's where you need those close friends, you need close people. But to share dreams, to share excitement, to have those conversations, I think it's very appropriate to be vulnerable in that, but not your woundedness.
Mm-hmm. I think consistency is just really key, and just having a certain standard for how you will interact with people, because I place a high premium on people who are consistent in their character and are just kind. And kindness is genuine. That doesn't have to be fake. You know, mm-hmm. we don't, just because it's nice doesn't mean it's not real. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's important for believers to think about how they're reflecting Christ's heart in even the most mundane interactions. So I think that kindness is important, and I guess there's a tendency for it to be maybe fake or perceived as fake, but I think that's those times where you go before the Lord and just say, you know, search my heart and help me to be just a consistent witness of who you are and your kindness and your compassion towards people. And I think in asking real questions every now and then doesn't mean you have to become best friends, but I think if you, you know, just ask like, hey, I heard you were going somewhere, how was that? Just to show an interest in people and to remember that those mundane moments are also very eternal.
Is it hard? I mean, have you guys ever had the experience where you've tried to maybe then, or maybe you've shared something of yourself, or you're trying to build a relationship with someone, and then you try to draw something out of them, and you just can't get anywhere? I mean, do you just kind of be like, okay, on to the next person? Or do you guys work hard at it? Or how have you done that? I mean, I sometimes feel bad for
the
people.
I feel like all the time. Okay. you know, I think there's a place for fighting for people, and you see the walls and you are like, I'm gonna strive for authenticity in this, and I'm gonna just try to be disarming, and I think that's a good thing. But the Lord has had to like convict me of like, Yvette, like if that's not your job necessarily to break down that wall. And so you can try, and then there is a biblical concept of, you know, shaking the dust off your feet and just saying, I will. There's grace in that, and saying, okay, you can, you're not ready. And there are plenty of people who are, so I can invest in those relationships that are more ripe.
Yeah.
I think there's a fear of rejection as well in people. And so if you fear being rejected, or if you notice that person may have that fear, just giving them a comfortable place. Many times people will be natural in sharing things, and usually there are some lightning rods of people where anybody is vulnerable with them, and they go, why do people expose these things to me? You know, I'm just there, and I just met them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's because they're comfortable, and the person doesn't fear that rejection. So watch what it's like to talk to you as well. I mean, that you have to be aware of that if you're really wanting people to be open with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Personality too, I know. For me, I'm more introverted, and so I won't, if I'm engaging in conversation and someone asks me a question, I'll answer it and might give some information, but I have a hard time kind of going the other way, and so I tend to draw more towards other introverts. And so I think that for me is a limit in being able to be open to just a broad range of people. I just don't function as well in a big group or with lots of people than I do in a smaller setting or with kind of people that I've learned to trust. So I think it really, and I think rejection, you know, just that fear of not knowing how they're going to respond is also a big roadblock in things that people have gone through that they think, well, they're not going to understand, or they're going to look down on me, or they're going to judge me, which unfortunately we know in the church can be a thing that is pretty prevalent. And so I feel in those situations too, that you just watch what you say to certain people, because you know that they're going to maybe respond a certain way, or they won't be as receptive to what you're going through. So
It's funny, because I have often thought that I get judged for that, being an extrovert. I think people just think, oh, she's got to be fake, or you know, she's just so, or she has so many friends, or I'm sure she has all these people to talk to, and she's just going to say something lame and superficial to me. And so it's funny, you know, having that personality type, we all have our own little issues of, that's not fair, that's not who I am, I want to be deep, I want to be the quiet, thoughtful person. So, that's good though. Okay. So just kind of as we wrap here, how would you guys say, I mean, for someone that wants to do this better and wants to be encouraged, not only to love others well, but also, you know, seek that themselves. I mean, I think there's almost sometimes a spirit of, defeatism, in the sense of, I mean, there's some people who are carrying stuff and they're just like, well, I'm never going to get past this, or I'm never going to be able to, this is always going to be part of my life. It's just this anger comes back all the time, or this hurt comes back, and I don't see any growth, and I'm upset with God about it, and I'm upset with people because they don't care. How can we show from our own selves and through our own vulnerability how can we do better in the church? Like you were saying, Danny, I mean, where it's not just listening to a sermon and then all heading out for chicken afterwards.
I think genuinely caring about one another, you're going to be more vulnerable with people that you have more common interests with. But stepping out of that comfort zone and learning people's names, I think that's a first step to helping a person feel comfortable in that and being a little bit more open, asking questions that are pertinent and remembering things that they've already shared instead of repeating. But you yourself, as you're walking into this, you have to learn how to take a risk. I mean, love takes risks. If you're going to grow, there may be pain there. You may find that you trust someone and they betray you. It doesn't mean everybody's going to do that. Mm-hmm. So be very selective on who you trust, mm-hmm. but trust some people. Yeah. Not just
well, and I think, anyone. Too, it doesn't mean that they're doing it intentionally. Some people, yeah. like you said, some people are just relationally, they don't know how to do it. So if you get rejected, and it may not be because, oh, I think you're just a jerk. You know, it's just I don't know how to do relationships either. So give people some grace.
And, you know, one thing that I'll tell people about is think about your thoughts. Is it a because of me thought? Do you think they're not wanting to be open with you or not wanting to listen to you because of something in you? Or is it maybe more of something else going on in their life where they're busy or something else is going on that just can't be attentive at that moment? Considering other possibilities and not focusing on, well, I'm a bad person or I'm going to get hurt. There could be other things going on. And this is a temporary thing. A lot of people get stuck in permanent thoughts that I'm just never going to be open. It's never going to change. You know, thinking in temporary terms can really get people through seasons that are sometimes lonely and difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Danny hit on some really good stuff. For me, it's been really important to go back on in those moments where I'm like, oh no, everyone hates me, to put my identity in Christ again and to think, okay, what am I being true to who he has made me to be? If rejection comes because it's just, you know, because of that, then that's okay. So for me, thinking of the big picture is really helpful. And I would say if you're new to being real with people, maybe starting with mentors, because mentors are, you know, they've kind of hopefully learned more things about relationships and are a little more relationally savvy and are really nurturers, you know. So I think that those people are really important to kind of pin down in your life and start practicing the art of vulnerability with them. And then to remember that, like, the big picture of what God is saying about his character and the kingdom of God. And I have to boast in my weaknesses and say, okay, there are these areas that I'm not proud of myself in, but God gets to tell a story that he can use me anyway. And because of that, I can boast in my weaknesses. Because of that, I can own the fact that laundry does not get done on a weekly basis at my house, you know? But he still uses scattered me in different ways. And so I can own that and glorify God through those areas that are not as pretty about me.
Yeah, I think in my advice would be for people is just to take it slow. I think a lot of the time when you are wanting to find someone to be vulnerable with or you want them to be vulnerable with you, you tend to jump the gun and go right to, oh, what's wrong in your life? You know, you're not building that relationship, that the foundation that you need first. And so that can turn a lot of people off. It can scare people away if you have someone coming up to you and they just want to know your biggest secret because they feel like they need to be able to reciprocate. And, you know, it's taking time to get to know that person, being intentional, being very careful about the questions you ask, just being genuine and, as Dan was saying, just caring about the person as them and not about what baggage that they're carrying and trying to get to that first. And so if you can just really step back and get out of your comfort zone a little bit and just say hello to people and just not have the intent of wanting to go right to trying to diagnose their problems, but just getting to know them on a personal human level. Just the way that Christ would, you know, he's there to help you through those times, but he's not jumping right into that. He wants that personal relationship with you first. And I think that's the same for us as well.
Yeah. Now, Ephesians 2:10, just they said great things there. Ephesians 2:10, it says that we're God's workmanship, a masterpiece of his creation. And that's what Yvette was talking about. And with that, if we take that as ourselves, that we're a masterpiece, a unique creation, as Yvette was alluding to. And then it says at the second part of that, that we're to step into these works that God has created for us to step into. Mm-hmm. So our life. And so if you don't live out the masterpiece portion of it, your identity, then you miss out on life. Mm-hmm. And So being able to do that and untangle the sin and the anxieties and insecurities can really set us free.
That's good. Yeah, just, I mean, a couple of things I thought of as you guys were talking was just the power in allowing people to be themselves and to not be, you know, to check your motives and to not be in relationships about, okay, or ask something or try to, quote, be vulnerable because you want to manipulate that other person, or what can I get out of them, or are they going to then, you know, feel bad enough for me that they want to be more in my life or be a better friend or whatever. Just, you know, it's so that. And then allowing to, you know, again, in that sense of allowing people to be who they are, truly celebrate and get to know them and love them through Jesus' eyes for who they are, whether whether where they are right now because of their past or just their personality type. You know, I know I'm guilty of a couple people in my life. I'm just like, oh yeah, they hate me. They hate me just because they're not treating me in the way I think that someone who likes me would treat me, you know? And so I just put a judgment on them because they're not this, or they're not my BFF, or they're not, maybe they just don't click with me, people. That's okay. You know, not everyone has to at the same level or whatever. So I think it's funny how we just start throwing labels and making judgments at people's motives and stuff like that. Exactly. So those are good thoughts, everyone. Thanks so much for being part of this conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Thanks for having us.